Welcome to Everything But the Lesson Plan podcast, where we discuss tips, tools, and resources for teachers to thrive in and out of the classroom. I am your host, Francesca Thompson, and today's episode is about practical tips and expert insight to helping you live your healthiest life. I am joined today by Mark Thompson, a nutritional health coach, here to empower you to make positive and sustainable changes for a healthier and happier you. Welcome to the show, and I want to make sure you all know that you are the first guy to join the show in contributing to empowering teachers. How are you?
I'm doing great. That's awesome, and thanks for having me on the program. Hello to everyone out there listening.
Yes. Okay. So Mr. Health Coach, Nutritional Health Coach, we got some questions today. Educators are dealing with an unprecedented amount of stress, and this impacts how they take care of their health. It is hard for teachers to unplug when they leave work, even me, right? A good number of them take their work home, and when they are at work, it's constant go time. And this is the kicker too, right? In addition to this, schools are the one place that if you are trying to make healthier choices, pack your lunch, meal prep, all of that good stuff. Someone is going to bring some donuts, some chicken biscuits, some pizza or something. Someone's going to come up with that cupcake. So we need your help. It's all about control and management. And that's one topic that we're familiar with. Teachers know how to do classroom management, but we kind of get an F on food management. So what advice on how to create small changes that make them a habit? And how do we do this? Why is this process so hard?
Well, right out of the gate, asking hard questions. I would say there's a couple of things on that. Habits are very hard to break. We are wired to establish, we're wired to follow established patterns. It's like getting your large coffee with a few donuts on the way to work. It's hard to change. You've been doing the same thing for years. It's comfortable, and half the time the car drives itself to the place and you can order with your eyes closed. Mm-hmm. So when you try to introduce new healthier habits, you know, like cooking in the morning or eating yogurt or some other healthier choice, it can feel uncomfortable or difficult because it requires more mental effort than continuing with the autopilot of established routines. Planning healthy food options can be very challenging. Mm-hmm. It can take 2-3 weeks or longer before a new routine has been adopted as a new normal habit. Any stress or temptation at the wrong moment can cause a relapse back in that old habit or pattern that you were trying to remove and get rid of. So eating that pre-planned lunch full of healthy choices can become much more difficult to stick to when your laptop freezes during class, or that one kid you secretly can't stand stands up and starts acting up in class. And at the same moment, you smell your favorite donuts or chicken biscuits or pizza, as you mentioned earlier, down the hall.
Yes.
And, you know, I call those habit breakers, you know, stress eating or comfort eating. We fall victim to that a lot. All or nothing mentality, where you have a plan in place and then you have one M&M and you're thinking, well, I already blew my diet. Let me go ahead and just eat whatever I want. You know, you slip one time and you slip for the rest of the day, week, month, or year, and it's all off track. Lack of support, family and friends not helping or being sensitive to the new habits you're trying to form. Mm-hmm. Peer pressure is a big one. When changing a diet, you have, you know, normally you'll eat a burger, but you have a Greek salad on Friday and, you know, everyone at your lunch table is looking at you funny. So it's difficult to change those habits, especially when you've been doing it so long. Understanding not only the foods you eat, but why or when you're tempted to eat them is key to recognizing your habits and being able to make long-term change that will stick, even when things don't go right.
So what I hear you saying, you said a lot of good things here, but I think you're right, especially when teachers, you know, they do the right thing, they bring their food, and then things go left, and then they eat that candy bar. You're saying don't throw in the towel. You ate the candy bar. You still can recover and continue on with your healthy journey after you've eaten that candy bar.
Absolutely. It's just like a free throw. You know, Michael Jordan didn't hit all of them. He missed some, right? But mm-hmm. he didn't dwell on it and didn't turn into a terrible game. Same thing with health. You know, when you are on a plan to try to eat better and try to do better for yourself, you're going to make mistakes. Sometimes it's not even mistakes. Sometimes you're just in a situation that you can't have a healthy option. Like, let's say you take kids to Six Flags. I've never seen anything at Six Flags as healthy. I think even the water has calories. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be in situations where not everything is optimal for, you know, your nutrition plan.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you throw in a towel. It means that you try to minimize the impact and then you maximize your recovery. Just that simple.
So let's talk about these habits. How are we going to do this? Some people try to start small. Some people try to, you know, just do it all. And, you know, I'm doing the whole thing, food, exercise, all of that good stuff. What's your advice with making things a habit?
It's a little bit deeper than that for me, because I like to try to go to the core or the foundation of this. Really, what fills your plate is not the first area to focus on when taking a deep dive into changing your nutrition or changing a diet. There's primary foods and then there's secondary foods. And if we're looking at this holistically, you have to look at both. Secondary foods are the things you actually eat: fruits, vegetables, pizza, burgers, etc. The primary foods are what fills your heart and your soul. Things like your spirituality, creativity, your career, healthy relationships, and social life. Those are examples of primary foods. Mm. If any of those are out of balance, then changing your secondary food or what you physically eat is much more difficult. Conversely, when things are in balance, it makes staying on track so much easier. It's so much easier not to have that, you know, cheat meal or that dessert, you know, when you've had a really good day, you know. But if there's a couple of bumps in the road, it's so much easier to pull over and order something you shouldn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I always recommend to first look at your particular situation with a magnifying glass. Get to the root of it all. What triggers the cravings? Is it times that you're under stress or not feeling heard or seen and need that instant gratification of a number two combo? There's usually emotional drivers that push or pull you towards habits that no longer suit you. Recognizing them is the hard part. And once you've identified your triggers, you then need to plan on how to change those situations so you can control and create a different outcome. Thanks.
I've never heard about primary food before. So that's really, really impactful.
It's just a different way of looking at it, because a lot of times we beat ourselves up for that cheeseburger we had, but we don't rewind the clock and look at the stressful day that preceded that cheeseburger and understanding how do we change those levers in our emotional situations to better handle those situations. So we're not looking for that comfort food, or we're not looking for that quick instant gratification. And we can really stick to our long-term goals.
Okay.
Another tip for trying to form long-term habits is, you know, remembering your why. I go back to this constantly for myself, but, you know, change always has a catalyst, a driving force that moves an immovable obstacle. So perhaps your why is to lose 20 pounds so you can get back into a suit or a dress you wore years back. It could be you got some results from your last doctor's visit and you need to work on a few things. Or maybe you just want to be around for your grandkids and be more healthy. Whatever that reason is, you need to make sure you refer to it often when things get hard and you lose focus. I like to keep track of my why by tracking my eating and workouts, by journaling, putting on I have a big whiteboard that you've seen in my office and I put checks on it every day. Mm-hmm. I like to visually see it, but you have to figure out what works for you to remind yourself of that why so you can kind of keep that gas in the tank. So remembering your why is really big as far as trying to get to your goals and accomplish those.
I like it. So there's some deep dive people that you got to do, personal reflection, looking into some of the things that might shake you up that are contributing to your not so healthy eating habits. So you just gotta take some of the tips that Mark has shared with us to get to that, and then make sure you understand your why. So now that we've had some of that hard conversation, let's talk about some of the essentials, nutrition essentials that teachers need. So what we know that this is probably the most important part of a healthy lifestyle. There's no shortcut, no pill, no procedure that can make this part magical. It's really about planning. Now I can say teachers, we are planners, right? But how can we embed these nutritional steps that can stick? What are some things that we can focus on when it comes to nutrition? I'm making yogurt in the morning, or my oatmeal or my avocado toast. What are some nutritional tips?
Yeah, and I think you kind of started off the right way. So planning out your week in advance is huge. Make a trip to the grocery store, get the items you need ahead of time. You know, pre-cook your breakfast, lunch, and or dinner if you can. If cooking is not your thing, there's several companies that can make healthy food options that deliver. But not having a plan for food is planning on eating something from an old habit, which is what you're trying to get away from. So always try to have a plan of your meals, whether it's the next day or the whole week. Try to have that in front of you so you don't have cravings. Another tip is always have water on hand, lots of it. There's very few things that are universally good for your body. Water is one of them. Have several ounces daily. It certainly helps a ton of things, but it also helps prevent cravings by drinking a lot of it. Another idea that I try to use a lot is the crowd out method. Instead of focusing on foods you shouldn't eat, try to focus on the ones you can. So try to bring it home for some of the teachers. If there's a school luncheon and they're serving pizza and salad, eat as much salad as you can. You're probably going to have pizza, but if you crowd out that, you know, 5, 6, 7 slices you normally would have by having a bunch of pizza and only have maybe one, that's a win. That's considered a win because you've cut down your caloric intake. You're trying to stick more a healthy lifestyle by crowding out bad foods, quote unquote, by eating good foods and a lot of it. You're basically filling your tank up with really good food and trying to stay away from some of the more bad or poor options. I would also say always have a backup plan. Have a healthy snack, or if you're out and about, know how close or how far away you are from somewhere that you can get food or a snack that fits your dietary goals. Never be caught outside the house without healthy options, and never be in a situation where you can't have something that's going to fit your goals while you're out and about.
Yes. And so, you know, when I hear you talking, my weakness, I mean, is potatoes. Okay. Potato chips. And I'm just trying to figure out a good replacement, right? And sometimes I just don't want celery. I don't want to eat an apple. So I think some people want to know, how can they have those good snacks that don't show up as a potato chip?
You have to find out what works for you. Yeah, you love potatoes in every single form. You've caught you eating a raw one time. But yeah,
whatever.
You certainly like potato, but that's the fun part of this journey, is because everyone's different. I have no problems eating, you know, grapes. I'll kill some grapes. I'm able to do that instead of having chips. But not everybody can do the same thing. So you have to figure out what works for you. Like, you like hummus. I don't like hummus. Mm-hmm. But that's a healthier option that you can employ instead of having, you know, chips and french fries. So part of the fun of this is exploring new things that fit your palate that are healthy for you. You don't always have to have, you know, the celery and the carrots and the Brussels sprouts and things of that nature. There's tons of options out there, and it's exciting once you land on, you know, a new recipe or a new snack or something that really, you know, hits your taste buds and also hits the dietary goals. So if you look at it as a journey and something that you can find some excitement in, you may be able to look at it through a different lens.
Yes. So I'm gonna still look for my potato chip substitute, and we'll see how that go. I'll have to report back. Oh, next thing is something that you would definitely look. You've always been a workout person. So That's another part of living your best life is moving your body. Why is that so important?
That's a huge one. I personally have always believed the body was made to move. Anything sits still too long usually breaks down. Can't leave a car too long without turning it on. Something bad happens, right? So it's crucial for maintaining overall health and well-being. Exercise impacts every single aspect of the human body. There's not many pills that even do this. So, when you exercise, you hit your cardiovascular health, you hit your muscle tone and bone health, your metabolism increases, your mental health improves, longevity and aging, your skin looks better, you can live longer, your immune functions work better, your cognitive functions work better, you can recall things faster. And there's so many reported emotional and stress relief benefits from it. I mean, it's just a long range of benefits, and it's so many reasons to do it compared to, the reasons not to do it, which usually are those self-gratifying quick wins where you just want to be in your own little comfort zone. But I guarantee you, once you do get out there and do it, that feel of accomplishment is so much better than the agony of regret. If you're regretting not getting up and do something, if you're regretting the fact that you didn't go out and work out or try to go at least for a quick walk, it's an awful thing to carry along with you. But incorporating a 10, 15, 20-minute exercise, doing something that gives you all those benefits, it just seems like a no-brainer to me. So I certainly encourage everyone to try to figure it out somehow, some way.
Yeah, and I was teachers typically have, and some teachers might be like, no, girl, I don't have that. I'm gonna say about 30 to 90 minutes planning or some type of lunch break. And I know there's something that they can do. Like, I mean, is a little 5 minute or 10 minute move of your body good if they could do that on their planning period or their lunch break?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. First, I would say I certainly am a big proponent of trying to find time either before work or after work that you really can invest into you without interruptions. So if you can figure out a time frame that fits that, certainly recommend doing that. But I work from home majority of the time if I'm not traveling, but I also try to incorporate a 10 to 15 minute exercise break. And my exercise break is a yoga stretching routine. Yours could be going for a brisk walk or doing some sit-ups or push-ups. I don't know how much exercise you can actually put in with kids running around and everything else, but I certainly would recommend trying to look into doing some sort of walking during that time frame. There's actually other things you can do in the classroom that might be beneficial. Active breaks where the teacher and students are standing, walking, or performing, exercises like jumping jacks and sit-ups, that could work. Even having the kids do yoga moves with you during class could work. You could have walking meetings or walking class. Go outside for a change of pace and have class. Standing desk could be a really good option. I've seen the desk treadmills that have gained popularity as of recently. There's just a lot of options out there. And really, it kind of boils down to, I think the first thing we talked about is, what's your why? What drives you? Because if it drives you enough, you're going to find a way to do something. It doesn't have to be every day, and it doesn't have to be for 3, 4 hours, but you have to start somewhere. And I think one of the things you asked me during this pre-planning is there a bare minimum for exercise? And I thought about that, and here's my response on that one. Everyone's different, and everyone is in different places on this map towards physical fitness or better all health. So I'll say my normal tagline: you need to be 1% better than yesterday. If you can run 4 miles, then run a little bit more. If you are just starting out or you have some health situations going on and you're at a stage you can only walk down the hall and walk up one flight of stairs, then your 1% might look like walking down that flight and walking up one more step. That might be your improvement. Each day needs to be an improvement from the day prior. If you're constantly building on that 1%, that progress eventually turns into an achievement. Small steps equal big results. And when consistently is applied, you will always get to your goal. So again, 1% better than yesterday is always my goal, but I would recommend anyone start now.
That sounds like a quote we need to put on a poster and put it in the classroom. So...
I already trademarked it, but go ahead.
Okay, well, you definitely have given us a lot of advice today. Just, I would love to have you back on the show. Maybe we can have you come on season 4 with some more tips and tools. What's your
that
thought?
Works and get up. That works, and we can get an update on your potatoes.
Yeah, that part. So, thank you for joining us on this journey to living your best life with nutritional health coach Mark Thompson. I hope you have enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to subscribe to Everything But the Lesson Plan podcast and leave us a review. And remember, small changes can lead to big results. So start building your foundation for a happier, healthier you today. There will be resources in the show notes, and I'll have Mark Thompson's contact information, and we will have him back on the show to give us some more advice. Teachers, please keep thriving. Thank you.